What happens when people ignore God's plan and go their own way? In Genesis 25, we meet Jacob and Esau, twin brothers born into God's covenant family. Despite clear promises from God, their story is marked by favoritism, manipulation, and deception. From Jacob's scheming to Esau's indifference, every choice carries a heavy cost. If you've ever wrestled to align your plans with God's will, this story offers timeless truth for you to apply today.
Well, in our study today, we're going to watch different people react to God's revealed plan. And we're going to watch and see the price they pay for doing things their own way. Now, after 20 years of marriage, Isaac and Rebekah haven't had this child of God's covenant promise that's going to raise up and through that child continue developing this nation. That promise seems to be fading. So Isaac prays to the Lord, and God responds, and it isn't long before his wife is expecting twin boys. Maybe Isaac shouldn't have prayed so hard. My wife and I had twin sons, and it wasn't always a double blessing. Sometimes it was just double the diapers and double the baby food and double the crying at night when they'd wake each other up. Now, it eventually got easier when they left for college. Well, I'm teasing, sort of. Now, long before these twin boys here in chapter 25 double the workload there in the nursery, they're already causing trouble in the womb, and it's a wrestling match in there. So Rebekah goes and she asks the Lord about it, and he says to her here in verse 23, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger." Now that's quite a revelation to Isaac and Rebekah. God's going to skip over the firstborn and raise up the Hebrew nation from the secondborn to whom he's giving the covenant blessing. Well, on delivery day, Esau emerges from the womb first, but his little brother's hand is grasping his heel. Jacob, the name given to this younger son, means literally heel catcher, and it describes one who tries to get in front, and Jacob's going to live up to the meaning of that name. Well, we're told here that Esau grows up to become a hunter, and Jacob prefers a quiet life at home, which will involve shepherding. And we're told here in verse 28 that Isaac especially loves Esau, and Rebekah especially loves Jacob. Now, that kind of clues you in on this being a house full of favoritism, which isn't good. And that's going to create nothing but trouble, by the way, in any home. Now, verse 29 here tells us that Esau comes home one day and he's hungry, and he begs Jacob for some of that homemade stew Jacob has made there on the stove. And Jacob decides, well, you know, this is the moment he's going to get that birthright. That's the inheritance of the firstborn. Now, remember, Jacob doesn't need to manipulate Esau to obtain this, because God already told Isaac and Rebekah that the older brother was going to serve the younger. But Jacob wants to be in control now. So here in verse 31, he says to Esau, "Sell me your birthright now." Well, that means today. Now, the birthright gave the son a double portion of the inheritance. It also gave the heir the right to play the role of family priest. This is prior to the law being delivered and the priesthood established. So this birthright was as much a spiritual inheritance as it was a financial one. And right here at the kitchen counter, Esau agrees to sell his birthright for a bowl of stew. Verse 34 tells us that he despised his birthright. In other words, he doesn't care at all about spiritual things. Now, chapter 26 opens with a famine taking over the land, and Isaac is taking his family over there to Gerar. That's the same place Abraham and Sarah had gone back in chapter 20. And if you can believe it, Isaac tells the same lie his father Abraham had told earlier. Isaac says that Rebekah is his sister out of fear of the men in that place who might kill him in order to take Rebekah if they had thought they were actually married. Now, fortunately, the next few verses tell us that the king figures out that they aren't brother and sister at all. They were evidently getting along too well with each other. So he warns his people not to touch either Isaac or Rebekah. Now, why would Moses record this episode here, which is so similar to Abraham's sin of lying? Well, for one thing, it demonstrates that human nature doesn't change from generation to generation. We're still sinners. The human race can improve just about everything except the human race. But this also demonstrates that God's faithfulness to his promises aren't going to change. His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and their descendants doesn't depend on their faithfulness, but on his. Now, that doesn't excuse Isaac and Rebekah or Jacob and Esau. They should have joined the Lord in his plans rather than come up with their own plans and disobey God. But the point remains, nothing is going to derail the plan of God. Well, now we come to the last two verses of chapter 26, and they kind of sum up the defiance and unbelief in the heart of Esau. Esau's 40 years old, and what does he do? He took Judith to be his wife and Basemath and to be his wife, and they're going to make life bitter for Isaac and Rebekah here in verses 34 and 35. These are pagan Hittite women. It's a heartbreak for any godly parent, as it was for Isaac and for Rebekah to see their children marry unbelievers. Many of you might be praying that God will save your extended family members and bring them to faith in Christ. Well, in the meantime, let me tell you, keep on loving them, keep on building a bridge and praying for them. Well, here in chapter 27 now, Isaac is old. He's grown blind. He believes that death is near. And instead of calling for Jacob to receive the covenant blessings, he calls for his godless son Esau. See, Isaac is determined to disobey the revealed will of God. Can you believe it? He tells Esau here in verses 3 and 4 to go hunting and prepare his favorite dinner, and afterward, he'll transfer the covenant blessings to Esau. Now, the bestowing of the firstborn blessing was a public celebration of God's faithfulness to the family. But you know what? Isaac knows that what he's doing isn't God's will, so he's going to do this privately. But Rebekah's been listening through the kitchen window, evidently. And she doesn't ask God to intervene, by the way. Instead, she comes up with her own little devious plan. And Jacob, he goes along with it. His only question here in verse 12 is essentially, well, what happens if I get caught? And Rebekah answers in verse 13 that she will bear the consequences of their deception. Oh, my friend, she is going to indeed pay a heavy price for her deception. Well, Rebekah cooks up Isaac's favorite meal. Jacob dresses up in Esau's clothing, and this ploy completely fools old blind Isaac. Now again, keep in mind that the Lord has already chosen Jacob for this blessing. God would have worked out the details without this sinful deception, which is going to divide this family, by the way, for the rest of their lives. Isaac blesses Jacob, thinking he's Esau. Esau soon finds out what's happened. Verse 41 here tells us Esau hated Jacob. Esau is going to plan to kill him as soon as Isaac passes away. Well, Rebecca learns of Esau's intentions, and again, instead of asking God for wisdom, she convinces Isaac to send Jacob out of town back to their extended family to find a wife. Rebecca, who so loved and favored Jacob, will never see him again. Rebecca's manipulation, Jacob's deception, Isaac's defiance of God's revealed will, and Esau's rejection of spiritual things, they're all going to bring such sorrow, such pain, such division. Sir Walter Scott famously wrote centuries ago, "Oh, what a tangled web we weave when we practice to deceive." Now, God gave these biographical sketches as a warning to you and me. Let's hold these chapters up like a mirror and take a look. Now, maybe you'll see yourself in Isaac resisting God's will because it's something different than you want. Maybe you see yourself here in Rebecca, who manipulated people rather than trusting and praying to God. Maybe you see yourself in Jacob deceiving rather than waiting on God's timing. Or maybe you see yourself in Esau, whose immediate appetites of sin were more important than spiritual priorities. Let's learn from these tragic decisions, and let's be encouraged to honestly and patiently wait on God and trust His timing. Well, until our next study, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Favoritism, impatience, and deception bring pain, but God's promises remain. Let this story remind you to trust His timing in all things. That was Stephen Davey, and this is The Wisdom Journey. Today's lesson is called Jacob and Esau. Learn more about our ministry by visiting wisdomonline.org. Then come back next time to continue traveling through God's Word on The Wisdom Journey.